Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Very good evening, Generation X on Joy 949. It is 7:05 PM. You are joined by the lovely Dylan.
Oh, I'm lovely.
You are lovely. And myself.
Oh, you're also lovely.
Oh, thanks, Dylan. It's just the two of us here today.
Cue a bit of a Will Smith. What was his son's name? Jaden Smith?
Just the two of us. But
yeah. Circa 2003. Just the two of us.
Yep, and you can hear more delightful tracks and melodies like that in the next hour. No, we're actually going to play some good music. Now, Dill's picked a whole bunch of Aussie bands. Is that right, yeah. Dill? Independent Aussies.
And Melbourne. These are Melbourne outfits. So
how did you come across them?
Well, just, you know, word of mouth and, hey, check out this. Because what the coolest thing is about, like, the unsigned, like, fan base is it's like, hey, have you ever heard of this band or have you heard of this person? So here's like, and then you just like follow the links and then like you look at their influences, you see who they've been like retweeting or, you know,
cool. People
on their like YouTube channels. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. I wonder how long it takes for a band to really like pick up and make it big like that, or whether they even want to, because a lot of the time, you know, small independent bands feel like they really lose their niche if they do expand too big.
And especially if they go to the wrong label, like, then they want to change who they sound like, or they might want to change their image, or they might want them just to write. I mean, like, look at Lupe Fiasco, who is a sick lyricist, and he's taking time off because they keep, like, his label keeps giving songs to, like, Bruno Mars that he's written, or to another artist that he's written, and it's like, well, he can make more sales. And Lupe's like, well, I want to make this music for me. Which is, I suppose, why they get into that industry, you know?
In the first place.
Yeah.
Fame.
Yeah, well, we've got a really big show on tonight. I'll be talking with Gus Johnston, Jason Ball and Ed O'Sullivan about something really cool Equal Love has been working towards.
Okay, stop right there. Who are these people?
Equal Love? Oh, well, okay. Well, Gus Johnston is a Victorian hockey player, goalkeeper, and he came out a couple of weeks ago with this really beautiful video talking about his experience with homophobia in sport and his experience with after coming out in sport as well. And Jason Ball, of course, is the AFL player who came out and kind of by coincidence gave Jason Ackermanis a bit of a one-up after those nasty tweets.
Yep, I remember that. That was quite recently, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. And then Ed O'Sullivan, who's one of the chief research officers at Victoria University, or he's a research officer at Victoria University.
Right.
And he's been working quite heavily with the Equal Love campaign.
Okay,
and
cool.
Equal Love, it's like, it's a study into the experience of the 14 to 23-year-old queer Victorians in sport and PE. And, like, they're pretty much just trying to find and, like, just the answers. They want to know about the good experience people have had in PE or sports and the bad experiences as well. And these impacts, they want to know, well, I suppose what they're going to use is the experiences as like a result to help the gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender inclusiveness in sport and improve PE programs. It's also going to be used as a bit of a measure for policy well with homophobia and transphobia in sport.
Yeah. So you said they're looking at the 14 to 23-year-old age group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I suppose would be a lot of you guys listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, if you'd like to get involved, jump on to www.facebook.com/equalplay. Now,
it's equal play with an L, not equal pay.
Equal play.
Play. I like play. To play sport.
Yeah. And look, there are some prizes. We'll be going into a little bit more detail a little bit later on, probably after In a couple of minutes, I guess, yeah.
So you don't have to wait too long.
Don't have to wait too
long.
Just
going to hold your suspense for a little bit.
But yeah, no, it looks and sounds like it's going to be an amazing thing. And like, I don't know about you, but I love sport and I love exercise, and there's so many benefits, especially mental health, like exercise to help to release those endorphins. And look, Em, you've had a problem with your back lately.
Yeah, I did. And like a couple of months ago, I hurt my back doing the stupidest thing. I literally bent over to do up my shoelaces.
What? And that was it.
And my back was like, see you later. I mean, to be fair, like in the lead up to that, I had been working pretty hard. And I mean, one of my jobs is I organize events. And the night before, I had been on my feet all night with this event. And the next morning, had a lot of adrenaline, went for a run, came home, leaned over to do up my shoes. And that was it. And that was pretty bad. Like I was literally bedridden, like could not move for a day, and then 2 weeks of not being able to sit for longer than an hour, and then kind of gradually from there, like recovered and started to go back to work. But I now have to kind of do ongoing like core strengthening so that I can continue to work a full 8 hour day. Because apparently, with a lower back injury, the worst thing that you can do is sitting. It's kind of like the equivalent of running on a sprained ankle.
Yeah.
Like really bad. So, yeah, I saw a really good physio and then started doing clinical Pilates, which has kind of saved my back, because you don't want to. I mean, you know, like I'm a spring chicken, man.
You are.
Like, yeah, I don't need to have back problems at my age.
No, not in the early 20s, my love.
No. So, yeah, definite benefits.
There are some amazing benefits. And hey, feel free to tell us about your own experiences. Send us a message on 0427-JOY-949 or give front desk a call on 1300-JOY-949. Or if you have something a little bit longer to say, shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au. Mm. Hey, do you want to kick off with some new music?
I would love to kick off with some new music. Who are we going to listen to?
We're going to listen to Tanya Bate. This song is called Secret Doors and Passageways.
Awesome.
You're listening to Generation X on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Generation Next. I'm lucky enough today to have been joined by Gren O'Sullivan, research officer from Vic University, as well as Gus Johnson and Jason Ball, two out and proud sports stars. So how are we all today, guys?
Good.
Fantastic.
Going well.
I think sports stars are an overqualification.
Yeah, me too.
Did you take that mantle, Jace?
Hey, you played for Australia.
No, I didn't. I played for Victoria. Okay. But anyway, that's okay.
Right.
You know, just take the compliment. We're here today to talk about Equal Play, which is a really amazing initiative that's been started. Grant, do you want to tell us about how Equal Play was initiated?
Well, it started with Beyond Blue, who's funded the project, advertising for people to apply for funding to research mental health within their GLBTI community. And Vic Uni, who has a very strong sport and exercise science department, thought that they would have a go at putting some research together to look at what's going on with regards to GLBTI youth and sport and PE and the impact it may have on their mental health within those environments. So they put together an application and sent it in. It was successful, but something that led to even wanting to do that was the fact that Vic Uni did a report in 2010 called Come Out to Play, which looked at the adult experiences of sport and PE, and the results show that there was a lot of homophobic experiences in sporting clubs, and you know, people reflect on their PE experiences. You know, I certainly do myself as well, and that it wasn't a great time. So they thought, well, let's look at people who are currently in PE and or recently been in PE and are in sport, and find out what's going on for them now.
Wow, that's a really nice way to start it off. I guess, well, Gus and Jason, you guys have been in the sporting world. Have you guys experienced much, homophobia or discrimination in the realms of sport?
Chase? Well, I mean, I feel that, you know, when I was playing football, it felt like it was the last place I'd ever be able to come out. And so because I was in the closet, I felt that, you know, I didn't necessarily experience discrimination. It was really mental discrimination. I was isolating myself in that environment. You know, yep. I would sort of avoid any conversations about relationships with any of the guys or anything like that. So I think I held back, and I wasn't really myself in the sporting environment. Like, I was a different person when I was around my friends and family and school friends who knew that I was gay, as opposed to the person that I was when I was playing football. And, you know, that wasn't actually a pleasant experience. You know, I really dreaded it. I remember we were going to go on our footy trip, and, you know, the footy trip is the place where all the guys are going to go to strip joints and chase town. I'm like, I'm going to have nothing to do. I'm going to not enjoy this at all. But, I mean, the flip side for me...
How were the strippers, Jace? Did you really enjoy them?
Well, the thing is, when I was over there, this was actually the time that, for me, the experience was really positive because my teammates sort of reached out to me to say that they knew that I was gay and that it wasn't a big deal. And that changed everything for me. So when before, it was quite an awful experience and homophobic slurs were sort of a regular part of the games and the training and just that sort of culture. And you're really fearing if you come out that it's going to have a negative impact. You're going to get kicked out of the side. You're going to get bullied. Who knows what's going to happen? I had no other people's experiences to draw upon. But in the end, they were actually, I was surprised with how tolerant they were and how cool that they were. It was actually quite a fun trip in the end.
That is just fantastic. How about yourself, Gus? What were your experiences?
Yeah, it's funny. I think, you know, Jason and I, although played very different sports, myself hockey and Jason obviously in football, we have a very kind of shared experience. Like everything that Jason has just said, I kind of echo those sentiments. I think, you know, it's something that you build up in your own head and that you fear what the repercussions of coming out might be. But until you do it, you don't really ever know. But certainly there is a homophobic and transphobic kind of culture that exists around sport, but it's very passive in that it's kind of directed outward in a way. Like I never kind of copped homophobic comments from people, but like Jason, I was essentially in the closet in my sport, so therefore wasn't a target or a magnet for those types of comments.
Okay. And Grant, you're a research officer. Why do you think there is this culture in PE and sporting environments for homophobia and transphobia?
I think sporting environments are actually quite conservative, and being that sport is one of the, you know, places where it's just very genderised, that there is this sort of policing of gender norms, which can play into both sexual orientation stuff and degrees to how masculine or feminine people are, as well as obviously what goes on for transgender people as well. So I think there's all these little ways where people are policing, you know, what it is to be, you know, a male or what it is to be a female, and trying to maintain these norms, which puts pressure on everyone to be the same.
And I always felt that being masculine, like, it's sort of defined by what it's not. You know, it's not like being a girl and it's not being gay, you know. So if you get called a girl or a gay, that means weak and soft and not, you know, that emasculizes you.
I agree with both of you. It's masculinity and that idea of the macho heterosexual man is what's put on a pedestal and revered in sporting culture.
Absolutely.
And anything that contradicts or goes against that grain is some way seen as weaker or lesser than that. Mm. And the stereotypical or cliched notion of homosexuality kind of defies that a little bit, which is completely false, but that's the perception that people have.
Yeah. Look, you know what? I have to agree with that. Most of my friends, they are straight men and they work in IT, and they're quite like not what you'd expect as a masculine guy. And I'm the most masculine out of them. So it's like, wait, what's going on here? Look, Equal Play seeks out to find the good and bad and everything in between for the Australian queer youth experiences in sport. How exactly will this information be gathered?
Well, we've got an online survey which has got a whole bunch of questions on there, and while we've got some scales and things where people can go through and click answers, there's a lot of opportunity for people to write in their experiences and their stories, which is just as important as the scales, which are looking at various things, including mental health and how you look at yourself, your identity. So there's a lot of opportunity for people just to tell their stories, and there's unlimited, you know, word space in there, so they can write as much as they want to. But you know, it is important that we do hear from everyone. We're not only looking for the sporty people, but for also the people that were put off sport, and we want to hear, why were you put off sport? Was it PE? Was it, you know, this or that led to that? But we also, as you said, want to hear the good and the bad. So if people have had good experiences, and there are plenty of you know, queer young people and adults who have, we want to hear about that too. So it gives us an idea of when it goes well, why does it go well? When it doesn't go well, why doesn't it go well? So it gives us a richness of information in both ways. And if it's just, you know, whatever, why is it just whatever and not particularly great or particularly bad too?
Yeah, I will hopefully hear from the Reservoir High School, because their Gay Straight Alliance, they have got on board with the semi-out homophobia in sports. And that started from the peer level, which was really awesome. I know when I was in high school, that would not have happened, that kind of change. But it's a good step. Has Reservoir High messaged in anything yet? Or
well, we're going out through the Rainbow Network, which is a network of people that work with queer youth, I guess in youth work and in schools, and also the Safe Schools Coalition. We're going out amongst a lot of networks that work within schools. So I'm sure we'll probably get a lot of stuff from people at schools that are a bit more queer friendly, but we're hoping to hear from people that at schools that aren't part of those networks as well. So we want to hear what it's like for them as well. So I guess, you know, we're trying to promote the study in all sorts of networks and all sorts of media to get to all the people that aren't as connected to the gay community or gay youth services or all those. We want to hear from them as well.
Oh, beautiful.
I think I need to get put some of my contacts from my old school in touch with you if you're looking for schools that are not necessarily gay friendly. I think being a, you know, private religious school, I had a kid actually get in touch with me when he saw, because I went to that school and everyone was talking about it when the campaign launched. One kid get in touch and say that, you know, I go to Yarra Valley, I'm in year 11, I actually got knocked back and wasn't allowed to bring my partner to the formal and all of this sort of stuff. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of those type of experiences out there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to hear from all those people.
Where can young LGBTIQ people submit their own experiences?
Well, the best place is to they can come to the Facebook page, and on the Facebook page we have a tab where they can go and do the survey, which links them to a website off of Facebook where they can go through and do the survey. And like I said, there's plenty of space for them to write in, to tell their stories in their own words, as well as the other questions that we've got. It takes maybe, you know, it's about a 30-minute survey, depending on how much people want to write in. But there's also a possibility to stop halfway and then come back to it later with a little code you can enter in and come back later if you don't have the time or if you get interrupted or whatever. And, you know, at the end, you can go into the draw to win an iPad 2 as a bit of a little reward for getting through.
Which I'm annoyed I can't win because I'm too old. I'm 33 now. So, because there's an age range, isn't there?
There is. Yeah.
What is the age cutoff? Because I need me an iPad 2 as well. You know, just put it out there.
Damn you. 14 to 23.
14 to 23. What if you're 23 right now?
You're included.
Yeah. Yes. It's all coming up, Dylan. Yeah. And look, if anyone wants more info or they actually want to get involved with their campaign, where should they go?
You can go. You can search us on Facebook. If you put in Equal Play, I think we're the top result that comes up. But you can just type in the URL of obviously www.facebook.com/Equal Play.
And for everyone listening at home, we do have Equal Play on Generation Next's social media. So, yeah, feel free to get on board, share around the stories and share around the links, because this is a great movement because sport is just awesome. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're a bit biased sitting in here.
I think what's important is that, you know, people do share positive and negative experiences. You know, Jason and I, in sharing our experiences, it's really a double-edged sword for us, because there's a lot of negative stuff that we feel a need to share and we want other people to hear about, but also we desperately love sport as well, and it has had such an amazing transformative effect on our lives.
Yeah.
And that's what these types of studies are all about, is creating a better, more inclusive environment within sport, and so that getting the positive stories as well is just as important.
Absolutely. I remember hearing, you know, some of the people who would write in and sort of share their stories. The most heartbreaking ones were people who stopped playing or something because they couldn't stand the homophobic environment, because they felt that they were gay and they just didn't belong.
And probably put them off for life for a very long time. So they miss out on all the benefits of both mental and physical health and, you know, the social side of it and all that stuff. They miss out on that. It's interesting. My background is I did gymnastics, so I was in an individual sport. And it's a little bit different to being in a team sport. And there's a lot of research around comparing team sports, especially for men, team sports versus individual. And I was also a track athlete, and that wasn't so bad for me, but school and PE was much, much worse. So, look, we're asking people to talk about the different environments. If they're doing a bit of sport outside of school, what's that like? If you're in PE as well, what's that like? It may be quite different. For me, it was different. You know, I wasn't great with the ball skills and the football, but I could do a twisting somersault, you know. So,
I cannot do that.
I don't think I can do it anymore.
Oh, thanks so much for spending some time, guys. We've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
26 minutes to 8. You are listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. That last track we just heard was I'm Yours by Mimi Walewska. And if you liked what you heard, well, she is playing live at the Evelyn on Brunswick Street in Fitzroy. And yeah, you should check her out because she's pretty awesome.
When's she playing?
On Thursday.
This Thursday?
This coming Thursday is in like, what day is it? Three more sleeps. A couple more sleeps. Awesome. I work with numbers all day.
That's so funny. That last like note that she held at the end of that song was amazing.
She, and do you know what? She is just really nice as well. Like she's really just like real. I think I have a crush, a girl crush.
You're down with the superstars.
Oh yeah.
You're chatting to all these sports dudes and now you're like down with the music people.
Oh. Yeah, I'm stalking one star at a time,
yep,
baby.
Yeah, that's what being on air is all about.
Will you come on my show, please?
Hey, I just wanted to follow on from that really cool interview that we had just before. The Facebook page for Equal Play is actually like amazing. I went and checked it out, and they it links to a whole bunch of different clips and different articles looking at kind of like equality in sports. And they link to a couple of really interesting international examples.
Yeah.
So I just thought that I might do like a quick chat about those, because a lot of the time I think that people are also interested in kind of looking at how Melbourne and how Australia is comparing in sort of equal rights to other places around the world. Yeah. And of course, like international sport is really popular here. So one of the main things is soccer.
Yeah.
I love soccer, I've got to say.
I love the soccer fans, to be honest.
The fans.
Yeah, they just love it and they know everything about the game and they know about like every other team and like who, like the better players in certain teams and like what would happen if this person. They go crazy for it.
And I have to say, I think it's pretty cool that it's like, I mean, as much as I also like AFL, I think it's pretty cool that it's an international sport and that there are a lot of, you know, different countries, and I think it kind of, I mean, it makes it a bit further away from home, but it sort of ups the stakes a bit, you know, if you're barracking for your whole country to represent in a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's a lot of soccer anti-discrimination in sports websites. One of the major ones is called Don't Cross the Line, which is based out of the UK, I think, and they've also got an online pledge, and they've got a pretty cool like campaign YouTube clip that goes along with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Another one is a rugby world champion, Ben Cohen. Ben Cohen?
Oh,
I don't know much about rugby. Goodness.
He is actually, like, he's a really good dude, a really good player. And look, I'm just going to put it out there. He's also really, really hot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lucky him. So he's also started up a foundation dedicated to anti-bullying and removing homophobia in sports, and it operates out of the US and the UK. And what is also really cool, I thought, is that he's also got a magazine that recently started, I think last month, which is focused on the best of sports culture. So looking at like positive examples of kind of like fairness in sport, which is pretty cool as well, I thought. And it's a magazine, and I don't know if you can get it in Australia because it's UK based, but you can definitely look at it online.
Should there be, there might be like an e-zine. Is this research for us?
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know what the software is called. It's one of those things where like you can click on the arrow and it shows you the spreads of the magazine.
Oh, that sounds like Flash.
Yeah.
Is it Flash? I don't know. I'm not a computer person.
I don't know. But the magazine looked pretty cool. And the other one was this hilarious clip, which I think is actually quite a few years old, which is one of the first clips about homophobia in sport internationally. And it's done by a Dutch soccer group, and it basically has like it's kind of literal people on the field. It's not animated. It has this guy running around in a closet. on the field with like everybody else, so they keep kicking the ball to him, but like bounces off him because he's stuck in the closet.
Yeah, that's actually up on one of our social medias right now. So
maybe we should put it up really recently to reflect this story as well.
Yeah, I think we should chuck it
up. So funny, and like he has a shower. And he's in a closet.
He's still in it? Yeah. It's really cool. I really did like the idea of it. Hey, did you know that Heineken actually had a gay ad back in 96?
Guinness?
I think so, yeah, but Heineken. Oh, 96, okay. And then it was pulled off because it was like, oh, we can't do that.
Too much. Too I know much. That Guinness did recently, and it's in 2012, the clip has gone viral. And I was reading about it, and they were saying that because they're playing the song Stand By Your Man behind the track, and it's one of those things where it's like, you know, a man can be in love with anyone, doesn't have to be like a woman or whatever. And then you only find out right at the end, of course, that's a man. But yeah, they pulled it off, like took it down, just thought it was too controversial at the time. And now apparently 2012, it's gone viral.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't look, I'd probably say it wouldn't have the same perhaps reach if it went back in the mid 90s. Like, it would have been really cool and a really awesome thing to like show kudos. But I just don't think that, right, because like a lot of people, they have like had a bit of a problem with themselves. Well, especially the gay community up until I think recent times, it's been like a real charge for gays. And like you talk, I remember when I first came to Melbourne and there was like a whole group of people that were like, they called themselves like anti-pride.
Really?
And yeah, and that's like, you know, not having pride and just kind of like ignoring it, not really celebrating the gay culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I think, you know, celebrating the gay culture, it gets pretty good. Amps you up.
Yeah, like, for sure. That's what Joy's all about.
Oh, that's exactly what Joy's here for. Yeah. And, you know, we know we try on this a bit, but, like, hey, grab our, like, become a member today or, you know, download our app and stuff because it keeps us on the air. And you can do that by calling 1-300-JOY-949 because, yeah, we love getting new members. And then you get, like, updates about our stuff. And
we have cool competitions.
And the coolest competitions.
I know. The lady on the desk, Em. Hi, Em, if you're listening. when we were in here earlier, she was reading out this whole reel of people that had won all these fabulous, like, books and CDs and giveaways and things like that. It's pretty, a lot of value.
Yeah, and it's just awesome to support your own community because we are the only gay and lesbian radio station in Australia, which is, you know, pretty awesome. And it's based in Melbourne, which is even cooler. How awesome is Melbourne?
I'm just agreeing.
It was just
total agreeance. Yeah, I know. I do. I love Melbourne. I love Joy.
Yeah. Hey, we've got more Generation X coming up right after this. We've got some Gay School coming up as well.
Excellent.
18 minutes to 8.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hi, this is Marsha Hines and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
There's a bear in there and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside.
It's Gay School.
Right. It is 7:43 p.m.
And next, feel free to join the conversation at any point during Gay School. Send us a message on 0427-JOY-949 or hit us up with an email on onair@joy.org.au.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. Tomorrow, Dil, it's 2012 Transgender Day of Remembrance. So there's going to be an official function in New South Wales Parliament to mark this year's Day of Remembrance. Which is largely funded by the City of Sydney. And there's been a whole bunch of research, obviously, around kind of transphobia, which I think we've talked about a fair bit previously on the show. So this research saw statistics of assault and intimidation experienced by trans people in Sydney compiled for the first time in an orderly fashion. And there's also been a whole big publicity campaign that's surrounded it to encourage trans people to report violence against them and with a promise that they would be treated with respect by members of the police, which I think is pretty good because I also read that there are new figures released that this year 265 trans people have actually been killed. So that's in the past 12 months, which is higher than previous years. So this kind of campaign, this research and also this publicity campaign to support trans stories.
What's crazy is the figures show nearly a 20% increase from last year when 221 trans murders were reported. So, which is absolutely appalling.
Yeah, and what's more, these are kind of only the documented cases. So, I'm sure, I mean, in all cases of violence, there's always undocumented cases, people being too scared or also just not feeling able emotionally to speak about it, about their experiences.
Absolutely. I know it would be a really, really horrible thing if you have had that kind of violence thrown at you or that kind of prejudice. It would be quite hard to get to verbalise that.
Absolutely. Which is why this kind of campaign in Australia around saying, you know, speaking out against transphobia is really important.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you anymore, Em. The countdown begins for World AIDS Day. So Saturday, December 1st is International World AIDS Day, and this year's theme is Getting to Zero. The Victorian AIDS Council, or VAC, is encouraging people to host red-themed fundraising dinner parties and will have volunteers out and about selling red ribbons throughout the Melbourne CBD. The VAC will also host the World AIDS Day Memorial service at the Positive Living Centre, South Yarra, from 2 p.m. The Executive Director, Matt Dixon, told the Star Observer that the international event was important to reflect on the immense human cost of HIV over the past three decades. Matt Dixon said, It also is a moment where we can celebrate that our collective efforts over a long time have limited the impact of HIV. And we've been drumming on about this for a while, but with stigma, breaking down the discrimination with people who have HIV, because, you know, I doubt anyone would intentionally go out and try and get infected with the virus. There's no reason for the discrimination. It's quite actually disgusting.
Yeah, absolutely.
You wouldn't make fun of someone with anything else, like any other malady. Why would it's just wrong.
And again, there's been a lot of research done recently looking at kind of ways to sort of make HIV testing easier and also ways to promote people speaking out about it and kind of normalizing it in the community, discussions about it in the community.
I think that's one of the healthiest things is just talking about it, because when you start talking about one of these, like a serious topic, like say, for example, HIV or trans, like, you know, acceptance of trans, and it normalizes it. And these these different, I guess, these different environments or climates, they become normal and you don't have to worry about, hey, that's a bit weird, and then the stupid little jokes stop as well, attitudes.
Yeah, so I think it's probably worthwhile mentioning here that if you have ever felt like discrimination to that extent that you are kind of worried or really upset about it, there are a lot of support services that you can call and speak to.
Absolutely.
One of the main ones is Lifeline, and their number is 131114.
And they're 24 hours as well, so no matter what time of the day, yeah, they're always there for a bit of a chat and just to help you when things get a bit too much.
Yeah. On the other hand, if you're just looking for kind of localised community resources, you should head to the Joy website.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. Yeah.
There's always something on the Joy website.
Yeah.
Which is www.joy.org.au.
Yeah. Hey, so another advancement on the marriage equality front.
Yay.
Well, hopefully it's an advancement. It's more, hopefully it's not just another piece of news about the lack of advancement. But basically, they're holding two marriage forums in Australia. They've just held one in Melbourne last week, and they're holding another one in Sydney next week. And all three major parties, so the Liberal, Labor and Greens parties, have signed up to speak about the future of marriage equality at these forums. And they're designed to allow community members to voice their views on the direction of Australian marriage equality movement in the wake of votes against reform in the federal and Tasmanian parliaments and also the victories at the US election. So the Melbourne Forum featured the Victorian Shadow Attorney General, Martin Pakawa, Clem Newton Brown, who's a Liberal, and Sue, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Pennyquit, I think she's a Greens lady. And at the upcoming Sydney Forum, which is on November the 25th, the reps include the ALPs, Penny Sharp, the Greens, Kate Fairman, and the Coalition has yet to name a representative. So the community campaigners are Rodney Croom, Alex Greenwich, who we've spoken about a fair bit. He's the he's just come into the seat of the City of Sydney. He used to be the head of Australian Marriage Equality.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and Brian Hutchison are also attending.
I think it's really important that the parties actually put people that are relevant to these campaigns.
Discussions, definitely.
So they can say something that contributes rather than just, you know, regurgitating facts.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if you've caught Parliament any time lately, but it just seems to be like they're just regurgitating something that they've sourced from Wikipedia.
Mm.
And I don't know, I just don't feel comfortable when there's leaders doing that.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that that it's interesting. I mean, I remember reading that these forums, they decided to hold them, you know, months and months ago, and you have to do that to line up the MP schedules as well. But it's actually come at a really good time after the US election, because marriage equality, there were big wins there.
Oh, huge wins.
I mean, obviously, Barack Obama has come out in support of marriage equality, and there were various senators who were elected who were identified as LGBTIQ and were obviously pushing marriage equality agenda as well. So I think in that context, it's actually a really great time for Australia to be having this discussion. Like, it feels like on an international front, you know, things in the kind of developed Western world are sort of starting to move. The landslide is beginning, hopefully.
It's beginning. You know what? I really do hope that it does move. I mean, like, I'm not, marriage equality, I think that, you know, I'd like to say no one day. You know, I'd like to have the opportunity.
Yeah.
If someone were to propose, I can say no.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, you know, and I'm sure someone out there would love to say yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about differences.
Yeah. And having, you know, the same right to be able to reject someone.
Yeah, exactly. You know, why leave it all up to, you know, the heterosexuals? I want to reject someone too. I feel left out, Em.
Yeah.
I love the vacant look in your eyes.
Well, I'm trying to like joke along, and I'm like, I wouldn't want to be rejected.
Yeah, no, it would be pretty nasty. No, you don't want to do that to somebody.
No.
The youth. Let's talk about youth.
We
love youth. The Victorian government has released a round of funding from the Healthy Equal Youth, or Hey Grant, which gives financial aid to projects throughout the state designed to support the health and well-being of young LGBTI people. Projects included a program to promote better inclusion in sports in the Barwon Southwest region and restarting a social support group for young homeless LGBTI people. SYNFM, which is a youth-led radio station, is going to train 20 young people to plan and produce and present their own radio program as part of the Queer Youth on Air project. And the Overnewton Anglican Community College will establish their own Gay Straight Alley group, which is awesome. And look, the LGBTI homeless, that like youth that are LGBTI and homeless, that is actually really, that hits close to home. Because when I came out, I found myself in a really, really gross, well, really scary, scary predicament where it was kind of like, whoa, I went from being a teen and coming out and then being like having to become an adult and going, wow, do I go back and study or do I get a job and so I have a roof over my head?
Mm.
Which I think it's really awesome that there are, that it is focused. I just wish there was something like that when I, I don't even want to say how many years ago now.
I agree. And I think it's great that all of these projects, you know, are youth focused. It's kind of like when you came back from the Safe Schools Coalition and you were just like blown away by the amount of different projects that young people can start for themselves as well, and the kind of ability to change at it.
I couldn't believe that.
At a young level. Yeah. And so it's great that these projects, I mean, whether they're for young people or run by young people, it's really great that they've got kind of the support of the government.
Yeah. And that's, especially for young people, like, it is, when you have a really, really feral experience when you're younger, it's a lot harder to try and scratch that stain out. Like, it stays with you for a long time.
Absolutely, yeah.
We've got the last bit of Generation Next coming up right after this. hate the last 5 minutes.
I'm going to cry.
So am I.
You'll never need to miss another show. Check out the Joy Podcasts, joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
If you want robots on air, listen to someone else. We just give you real people. Joy 94.9.
It is 4 minutes to eight. We're finishing up on Gen Next with Dylan M. We've had a really interesting show. That Equal Play campaign discussion was very interesting.
And plus, you get to win an iPad 2.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Pretty and all you have cool. to do is just jump onto www.facebook.com/equalplay and just submit your story. The survey takes about 30 minutes. That's what Ed O'Sullivan said. So, and you can, if it does get a bit too much, and you can pause it and then come back to it later.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what's the worst? You put it through and you might not win. You put it through and you have the chance to win an iPad 2. That is
awesome. And additionally, you're telling your story and you're contributing to a whole body of research in the very kind of, researchy way. Thanks for that great analogy, Em. Or on the other hand, you're sharing your story and you're helping out some other young person who might be too scared to come out or uncertain about coming out or, uncertain about whether they actually are gay or straight and just kind of, want to hear from other people's experiences.
Yep. And all those stories, like you were saying, those experiences, they go in directly to form policy on treating homophobia and transphobia.
Yeah. So to making actual changes in schools. And why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Jump on board, guys. And, we are about to cruise out of here as well. So this is just going way too fast.
I know.
But look, hey, we're going to leave you something a little bit different tonight. These guys are called Lurch and Chief. They're from Melbourne again. And the song is called I'll Meet You on Planet Z.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.